Hey everybody and welcome. You're listening to the Bic Life Podcast. We're the unofficial Brethren in Christ podcast where we talk about issues surrounding life and faith in Jesus from a Brethren in Christ perspective. My name is Ryan Stockton and I'm joined as usual by my friend and podcast partner, Scott McPhee. Hey Scott, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing, Ryan? Good.
Doing all right. Doing okay so far today. I'm recording in a different place from where I usually record, so hopefully my dog doesn't go nuts. She's kind of in the same room as me. She's looking out the window right now. Nice and chill. But man, if somebody walks by, I might have to... It'll be a race to hit my mute button, I think. So either that or you'll have some work to do in post-production. So,
yeah, no worries.
But yeah, doing well, doing well. And hey, listener, to you, it's good to have you with us. It's our first episode of the new year here in January. Hope that everyone had a great Christmas and a new year celebration. And then we hope that you were able to remember Jesus during that time, that you actually were able to come out of that time spiritually richer than when you went in. That is our hope and our prayer for all of you. And actually, Scott, we got a little bit of an early Christmas present for our podcast. Have you checked out our new website?
Yes, I have. It looks great, man. Yeah.
BicLifePodcast.com. So if you want to check us out there, BicLifePodcast.com. It's got all of our episodes on there, a little about us. You can read a little bit about Scott and myself there if we want. And there's also a little... I'll say it's a way to get in touch with us. It's basically just a link to our email address, which we talk about every week, biclifepodcast@gmail.com. So, check it out. And it's a good way to see all the episodes, catch up on anything if you've missed something. And it's a great way to share it with your friends or with your church. It's a one-stop shop for the podcast. So check it out, biclifepodcast.com. So happy to have that going for us now. Well, we have got some fun things to talk about today, Scott, not just our podcast website. We could talk about that all day, but we won't do that. We're actually going to talk about, the first thing we're going to talk about is actually a continuation of a topic that we discussed back in episode 17. And we don't expect you to remember, if you're listening to this, exactly what episode 17 was just by hearing the number.
What, four months ago?
Yeah, something. I think it was like October or something. So yeah, about 4 months ago. Yeah. In that episode, though, we talked about a post that appeared on the BIC blog that was actually an article from 100 years ago in the Evangelical Visitor, which is a now defunct publication for the denomination. And the article was called 19 Ways to Kill Your Church. And we thought that was hysterical. First of all, the premise is funny, but second, it was a very tongue-in-cheek article. Yeah. But second, the fact that it was 100 years old. Like for some reason in my head, Scott, I always feel like people in the past didn't have a sense of humor. I don't know why.
Right.
I don't know why that is.
On one hand, it was humorous, but on the other hand, it's like, man, that's so true and relevant to 2023 and now 2024, right?
Yeah. That's kind of what made the article so cool, is that like, this is the same now.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Nothing's changed.
Yeah. So anyway, during that conversation, Scott had this hilarious and great idea that we should come up with 19 more ways to kill the church in honor of the article's 100th birthday, 100th anniversary, whatever.
Yeah.
So, and Scott, I feel like this article was easier. These 19 more ways were easier to come up with than it probably should have been.
Yeah. So full disclosure, we've had to whittle it down to 19.
Yeah.
So. We may throw in a few honorable mentions, but we'll see. We'll see what time permits.
Yeah. So we will link to all of these in our show notes, but we're actually just going to run down the list. And then Scott, just stop me if there's one you want to hit and I'll do the same. We won't riff on this too long, but we wanted to read all of these for you, listeners and viewers. So that way you can get the full idea.
Yeah. Chew on this.
Chew on this. All right. So 100 years later, 19 more ways for rules for killing your church. So number one, come with a pillow because you were planning on sleeping anyway.
Wow.
I love that.
Can we hover on that one just a little bit?
Yeah. We can double click that one.
So that's funny. But we all know there's some truth to that, right? Because here's the heart of this one. You know, come with your pillow because you were planning on sleeping anyway. Well, the question we ought to really be asking ourselves is, why did we wake up this morning to get ready and come to church? What are we expecting out of the service this morning? Are we coming at it from a consumerism mentality of like, well, I'm going there to get fed, you know, and maybe that's it. But have we ever thought about like going there to serve and like, well, how could God use me this morning? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's going to be a random conversation in the church hallway where, you know, mm-hmm. I'm able to give some encouragement or whatever. But, you know, this whole like, I think there's a heart issue when we come to the pews or the chairs and we're falling asleep 20 minutes into the service. Like, yeah. What is that about? I mean, get some coffee or, yeah. You know, do whatever it is you got to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this isn't like falling asleep during a TV show, right? This is, yeah. We're here to worship the Lord. Do you think we're going to fall yeah. asleep in heaven? Like, so I don't know. This was one of my hot topic ones, right?
Well, and along with that, Scott, with the whole, you know, coming of online streaming services, mm-hmm. oftentimes we bring our services to our pillows.
Yeah.
And we view in bed or we sit on the couch and we fall asleep. So, yeah, it's basically, yeah, like, what are we doing this for anyway? Like, what are we here for?
It's like something's just not right, right?
Yeah.
Like, this should be yeah. exciting. Like mm-hmm. we're yeah. here with our brothers and sisters in Christ
yeah.
to serve and worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's not just a Sunday thing, right?
Yeah.
But for right. some reason on Sunday, it becomes so routine that it's like, man, I wish we had recliners, you know? I don't know. I feel like, again, it's a funny statement. Come with a pillow because you're planning on sleeping anyway. But like, there's some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know, there's definitely those I mentioned off podcast, off air, that there's definitely those that wake up super early in the morning to work on their farm or whatever, and then they come to church and they're already tired. And I get that. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're just talking about those that are just kind of don't know if. What did I say earlier? Melancholy or like blasé? Just kind of like
pathetic. Whatever.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know.
Well, we'll have some more in the list that will kind of touch on that a little bit as well.
Yeah, let's keep moving.
Number two, constantly compare your pastor to the YouTube preacher that you watch. That one's one I wanted to double click on just a little bit, just because we are so used to, we can watch anybody now. We can find resources anywhere. But sometimes a lot of the people we see on YouTube and stuff, some of them aren't vetted like by a denomination or anything. And denominations aren't perfect. You know, the BIC is not perfect and stuff like that, but at least there's a vetting process for those who are allowed to call themselves pastor or have a position of influence or leadership. On YouTube, who knows what you're getting? And just because they have a lot of followers doesn't mean that they are trustworthy. Actually goes into the next one there, which we can get to in a second. But also another thing is when you compare your local pastor to the YouTube preacher that you watch, if they have a lot of followers and stuff, it's usually because they're very entertaining, they're engaging, they've got a lot of stuff. And I think that can be damaging sometimes, because there's something to be said for, like, I'm not the most amazing preacher out there. You know, I'm not going to compare to a lot of YouTube preachers that have a big following and big platform and stuff like that. But there is something to be said for an embodied, faithful local presence with your people. And so we're not just there for a Bible lesson. We're not just going to church to gain Bible trivia, to learn, to gather bits of data, you know, biblical data. We are there to read the Bible together, to apply it together, to see how it applies in our local context versus just some generic global or national application. We're there to be there with each other and look at the Bible together. So,
yeah. So one thing real quick on this, so you and I are both pastors. Mm. I like to listen to some other YouTube pastors.
Yeah.
Some that I trust, you know, maybe a couple that I know, 'cause they happen to be here locally or whatever. Sure. There's only ever been one pastor that I don't know personally on YouTube, that I've seen that is okay. So I'm not going to say who it is, but this guy's very popular. I really enjoy listening to his messages. He's really good. He's super knowledgeable. He's a scholar in his own right. Right. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy it. But he is the only online pastor I've ever heard that said to directly to his online listeners, I am not your pastor. You need to be in a local church. That needs to be your pastor. Like, I don't know you. I don't know where you live. Like, you know, so I appreciated that. I think we could hear that more often. Like, you know, there online is nice, but nothing can replace the local in-person church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That's a good word for sure. All right. So moving on to number three on the list. And again, we kind of touched on this one. Determine how trustworthy your pastor is by how many social media followers they have. So
how many do you have?
I don't know. 3, 4, something like that.
I think our church has on YouTube, I think our church has like 130 now. So we're, oh man, we're coming along.
Triple digits. Oh,
and the BIC Life podcast.
Yeah.
What do we have? How many subscribers? Do you know?
Oh man, I'll tell you, we have a listenership in the tens. I tell you, the tens.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll tell you in a second.
I can't remember. I've looked at our stats before, but it's been a little while. So are you looking it up now?
I am 30 subscribers. So this is
that's YouTube. That's just YouTube, right?
Oh yeah. By the way, yeah, that's just YouTube.
Yeah, that's just YouTube. We do have a good number more.
But if you're watching or you're listening, this is a great opportunity to remind you. If you like what you're hearing, hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button.
Like and subscribe.
Ding. There you go. All right. Next.
Cool. Number four. When you go to church, only ever talk to the people you already know. So, yeah, there's that one.
Yep.
Number five. Assume you have nothing to learn from people older or younger than you.
Mm.
Boy, have I seen that.
I like that you put in younger as well. That's, that's valid. Yeah.
There can be age bias no matter what age you are. I'm capable of bias no matter how old I am. That's the gift that keeps on giving. Number six, determine the level of spiritual faithfulness of your church by the quality of their Sunday live stream.
Mm.
If you're looking for churches, don't just judge them on the quality of the live stream. You know, if you're checking out, if you're checking out a church online, that's fine. It's a fine way to do it. But listen to the faithfulness to the word, to how they apply to local context and all that sort of thing. But go check out a church too, because you can't tell everything online.
Yeah. And there's something to be said about the heart there too. Like some churches have a real heart for the online ministry. And so they dump a ton of resources into it. And I don't mean just thousands. I mean, tens of thousands, like a lot of money goes in. Like if you're watching a church service that is a really good video production, they've dumped a ton of money into it. I know, because we try to make ours as best as we can, and yet we use free resources, and you know, I mean, it just kind of is what it is. But nothing, like I think you just said, nothing replaces that in person.
Yeah, for sure. Number seven, only commit to coming if the musical worship leader agrees to play your favorite songs.
Yep.
Oh, man. Yep. We'll just leave it. That's our comment for that one. Number eight, sacrifice church attendance for youth sports, but never the other way around. I know youth sports is big around here.
Yeah.
And
well,
I
your
know
kids
this
are
is,
in soccer and stuff,
yeah,
right?
this has been a big balancing act for us because we do try to prioritize church attendance, and there's always soccer on a Sunday. Always. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, and they require that though. Like if right? Like if you don't show up, then you can't be on the team.
I mean, most of the coaches and the travel soccer sports world that we have been involved in our area has been very understanding. There's actually a few pastors' kids on my oldest kid's team.
Oh, nice.
So that's pretty cool. And so, we do have them miss soccer for church. They can't play the second day of soccer tournaments because no, we want you at church on Sunday. Now that's not all the time. We do occasionally let them play a game on a Sunday. It's like, okay, fine, you can miss 2 Sundays this
Dad's not
season
speaking
if you
today,
want
so you
or
can
something.
miss.
Right, I know, yeah. Dad's not speaking today. Yeah, someone else can. But yeah, so it's a tough balancing act. I totally get it. But are you only ever sacrificing Sunday morning church gatherings for youth sporting events, or do you also sacrifice the other way around? So
And it can also go into if you're like a teenager and you have a part-time job or whatever. I remember that. I remember specifically telling Wise Markets at 16, 17 years old, "I'm sorry, but I will work Sundays, but only after 12 o'clock." So, yeah, and
Yeah,
that's
it's
just how,
tough.
and they accommodated me. So,
Yeah, it's tough, but usually people are willing to accommodate in the sports or work worlds, usually, if it's possible. So number 9, never read the Bible on your own.
That's so dangerous, Ryan.
Read the Bible on your own? I
I'm just
know.
kidding.
Yeah, it's dangerous. What
Who
might
would
the
have thought?
Spirit say?
Right. I know.
Yes. Now we do, as the BIC, we do place an emphasis. It's not one of our core values, but on communal interpretation, right? One of our core values, belonging to the body of community of faith, we do place a priority on interpretation and application within the context of a broader body. We're not saying to sacrifice that. We're just saying, don't let your only Bible reading be when the pastor reads it for you during the sermon. Read it on your own. Number 10, assume that you are too spiritually immature to lead anything. I've seen people who are actually a lot more spiritually mature than they think they are, but they need to be invested in and built into and stuff, spoken into. So,
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about, like, you might feel unqualified, insignificant, like the Lord would just use someone else, right? Well, Moses felt that way too. And the thing is, like, you might be unqualified, but you have God guiding you in that, so which automatically makes you qualified. You just didn't know it yet, and so we just kind of have to be willing to say, "Here I am."
Absolutely. In fact, it's the people who come up to you and say, I am completely qualified for leadership in this church. Those are the people I'd be a little wary of.
Red flag, red flag in the soccer world, red flag, right?
All right. So number 11, never pray out loud. So that's one. People can really benefit from hearing the prayers of other believers, and our faith can be supported by others during those times.
And that, not to spend a ton of time on that one, there's some anxiety in that one, I think, because I didn't start praying out loud until I was probably 18, 19 years old. I don't know why. I was just so self-conscious. Like, and then, but the more you do it in smaller circles, and then you go, I mean, I, 4 years ago, becoming the pastor of this church and having to pray every Sunday in front of everybody, like, I used to be so nervous about that. Oh my word. And now it's just because it's an every Sunday thing. Like, I just let the Spirit move my heart and just say, I just talk to God. That's all it is. You don't have to have fancy words. You just talk to him as he made you. And there it is.
There you go. There you go. Number 12, don't make prayer a priority, whether personal or in your church programming. So Sunday morning, is there prayer going on in the service? Is prayer a priority for your church? Do they make opportunities available for that? Do you make prayer priority personally. Yeah. So if you don't do that, one way to kill your church. 13, make all decisions for the church based on financial considerations. Again, pretty self-explanatory there. You can keep finances in mind, and we always should. It should be something that is, you know, we should be wise stewards of all the our resources, but
yeah. There's trust involved as well. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Number 14, for pastors, never invest in growth resources or opportunities. So for yourself, I know as a pastor, one thing that's easy to do is to forget about my own growth. I focus on the growth of others, the, you know, all that sort of thing, spiritual health of others. But if you're a pastor and you're listening to this, invest in a conference, go on a retreat, take your days off, take your vacation days, buy books, read books, whatever you can do, learn from, you know, continue to learn all that kind of stuff.
Listen to credible YouTube pastors.
Yeah. Listen to credible unofficial Brethren in Christ podcasts.
That, right. There
you know,
we go.
That, you know, just saying.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, just throwing that out there.
That's what I do.
Hey, number 15. One of the ways you can kill your church is to prioritize political values over biblical values.
Uh-oh. Ryan, you went there.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
What have I done?
Can you talk about that one just for a couple seconds?
Oh, boy. I think a lot of what I'm seeing a lot more frequently. And I will say, I know I have some people listening from my home church. I don't see it as much in this church. And I'm not just saying that because there are some people who listen to from my current church. I don't see it as much here, but it's a temptation for me. And so therefore I know it's got to be a temptation for others in our church as well as just, and I see it definitely happening in the broader church. So yeah, so what I see happening is people coming to church or reading the Bible, listening to the sermons, and evaluating those things through their political lens, their preferred political lens, rather than reading their politics through a biblical lens.
Yeah.
And so that I feel is prioritizing political values over biblical values. And we don't do that intentionally. I don't think anyone does that intentionally, right? I don't think anyone says I'm a Democrat first, or I'm a Republican first, or a Libertarian first, and then a Christian. I don't think there's too many people who are followers of Jesus who would say that explicitly.
Yeah.
But if you find that the Jesus that you follow, the Bible that you read, if you find that that never comes in conflict with your politics, if you find that your politics align 100% with your faith, or your faith aligns 100% with your politics, that's a good sign that you're reading things through your political lens first. Because if you are reading from a biblical lens first, through a Jesus lens, a Christocentric lens first, your politics will always be confronted.
Right.
There will always be something. You will not find a political platform that you 100% align with on all issues.
You know, this might be a good episode topic someday.
Yeah.
Just the Brethren in Christ, you know, a view on politics in general. So that I mentioned to you in one of the books I have on, it's called A Minister's Manual of the Brethren in Christ. There's actually a paragraph in there about how pastors ought to approach politics. And I think that'd be interesting to read that for people to know. And like, I think that topic in itself would be a really good episode.
Yeah.
And just for me personally, real quick, I used to watch the news a lot, like every day.
Yeah.
And I know I found like the more I watched it, the more I felt consumed by it. And so I've kind of had to like limit myself, because the more consumed I am by it, the more I see the world through whatever the news is selling me, whatever station I'm watching. Right.
Yeah.
Like they're almost indoctrinating me.
Yeah.
And it's on purpose. I get it. But if we're not careful, like you said, we start to interpret everything through that lens, including our faith, when it should be the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anybody intentionally says, oh, I'm a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whatever first, and then I'm a Christian.
Right.
But it is helpful to remind ourselves we are followers of Jesus first before anything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thank you.
And we do see churches that have really leaned into one side of the aisle or another, and they'll grow. Like, you, because you'll get people who will lean into that and want to go to a church that never challenges their political viewpoints or whatever. And so there will be some churches that have leaned. We've seen that here locally in our area, where some churches have leaned one way or the other, and they'll grow. They grow a lot. They're some of the larger churches around here.
Yeah.
And so they could say, no, that hasn't killed our church.
Yeah.
Maybe not numerically, but are there other means of
there's a cultural thing going on there too. We should talk about this. It's another top, another podcast episode. Yeah.
Another episode. Yep. Here we go. Let's move on. Number 16, come with the expectation of receiving for yourself rather than giving of yourself. And Scott, you touched on this on the first one, the bringing a pillow.
Yeah.
One. So that was, I don't need to say anything more.
No, there's definitely going to be some overlapping, but
yeah. For sure. Number 17, never talk to your pastor about struggles you are having in life. So
I almost said, nope, I don't want to hear it. Put on your big boy pants and suck it up. That's because that's what we do here in Lancaster County.
Yeah, right.
We just sweep it under the rug. No. I'm kidding. So,
oh man. Yeah. But yeah, we're here to do life together, and that includes not just the good, but also the difficult. And so yeah, go to your pastor, and your pastor is not omnicompetent nor omni-certified or anything. So, you know, like, I'm not a licensed counselor or therapist. Mm-mm. Some pastors are, but I'm certainly not.
Yeah, me neither.
We want to walk through this stuff with you. We want to love you as best we can. And if we need to refer to an actual counselor who's you know, more qualified, we can certainly do that. But definitely, go to your pastor and do life together.
If you're a new pastor happening and you're just listening to this, like, I can tell you one of the best things I did was look around and find those resources.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It's like that list is gold.
Yeah. That's one of the first things I do when I get into
And it's
hard
to compile a list when you're not 100% sure. Here's an agency that is on the recommended list, but it's like, I don't know them. I've never. So go to them, visit them, talk to them, see what their heart is. Yeah,
absolutely. Number 18, complain that your church isn't doing enough in your area of interest. For every person that attends a church, there will be a specific area of interest, and a church cannot do all of them. So complain about that as much as you can. If they're not doing your area of interest, then you can kill that church. So
Good. And if your complaints aren't heard, just go to one of the other 18 churches on your block.
Yeah, there you go.
Because church is like a restaurant, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
If you don't like this menu, go find another one.
There you go. That's what it's all about, right?
Oh, sorry,
it's a self-service buffet.
I can't help it.
Number 19, never mention your church, participation in your church, or belief in Jesus to anyone that you know. That's one way you can kill your church. So those are the 19 that we've got. We had some honorable mentions here. I'm just going to blast through these real quick.
Sure.
One, invite false teaching. Another one, give your money, but never your time. Oof. Number three, if your local church doesn't have everything you're looking for, just go to another church.
Oh, there we just
go.
Said
nice
that.
And easy. There you go. Four, make sure you don't learn anything when the pastor preaches. Just assume you've already got it and assume you know it all. Number five, assume that your age determines your level of spiritual maturity. And then the last one, for the honorable mentions, believe that you have nothing to gain by learning about the denomination that you're a part of. So if you're listening to this and you are a part of a denomination, chances are you're part of the Brethren in Christ denomination. There's a lot you can gain by learning about your denomination. So that's good stuff. So there you have it. We will link to these in the show notes, but we just wanted to run it all down for you here. We had something else we wanted to talk about too, Scott, didn't we?
Yeah, do you remember what that was?
So here's how we're phrasing this question that we've been thinking through. So it's our first episode of 2024. We're really excited about this coming year. There's some really exciting things coming down the pike for this podcast, and all that kind of stuff. So we're really excited. But just in general, we were thinking about this question: what are one or two core values that we think, Scott and I, that we think that the Brethren in Christ Church or the church in general, just Christians, should grow in or emphasize in 2024? So what are one or two core values that we think the BIC Church or just Christians in general, church in general, should grow in or emphasize? And as we think through this question, we think through in 2024, the wars in Israel and Ukraine are still going to be going on, right? We don't anticipate those ending before 2024. We're recording now in 2023. So
yes, it's December 19th right now. So
past, yeah. So those will still be going on. There's going to be a presidential election coming up for the United States in 2024. AI, artificial intelligence, that's going to continue to proliferate and grow in its functionality and its impact on society. There will be more wars, I'm sure, that will start large or small during 2024. Unfortunate, but probably true. So what core values can speak into this setting of uncertainty, of upheaval, of polarization, confusion, all that sort of thing? So Scott, do you want to hit one first? Or
yeah, I'll just hit one for me personally, just to start off. The last BSC core value listed on our BSCUS.org website is relying on God. And the subheading says, we confess our dependence on God for everything and seek to deepen our intimacy with him by living prayerfully.
Yeah.
The reason why that's on my radar is because I think that's something, again, I'm just speaking personally here, that's something I can grow in throughout the rest of my life. Yeah. And the more life has thrown at my wife and I and our family and just the different things we've been through, the more we've learned and appreciated what it means to really depend on God for everything. And you know, I guess this is my confession time, but like, I know I could seek him more, living prayerfully more. And I want that. I see others doing that. I want that as well. I don't ever want my prayer life and my relying on God to ever grow stale enough that I'm bringing a pillow to church and sleeping through my own sermons. No, in all seriousness, you know, like, this is one of those sentences where it sounds like a Christian cliche. Well, we just confess our dependence on God for everything. Yay. No, like that is so deep, and it's something that, you know, the more life you experience and the more you trust in God, the more you realize how just how important it is to rely on God in everything and trust him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that one's important for me.
Yeah. Well, personally. And I like the last phrase there, living prayerfully, particularly when I think about the alternatives, living in a reactionary sort of way. You're always on your toes. You're always feeling offended, you know, so you're reacting in terms of offense, or, you know, you're giving these hot takes, or living fearfully, you know, like all these ways that could be opposite of living prayerfully.
Yeah.
When you're living prayerfully, that it sets a base of a kind of a foundation for you in where your trust lies as we rely on God. And it's just kind of, I feel like it sets you up for a less fearful, less reactionary kind of life, where you can live with a little more peace in your heart.
I feel like that would be another good episode, living prayerfully.
Right. Oh gosh. Like, what does that look like?
Maybe have a one or two or three people on to just talk
Have some
about
people
that,
on who know how to pray.
Well, and what it looks like in their own life, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, absolutely. Well, one I was thinking about in terms of 2024 is, and this is the one that came to my mind right away, was pursuing peace. And I know this is a topic we've talked about on this podcast a number of times, and I think one of the reasons why it's come up a couple of times on this podcast in our short run so far is that it's such a impactful area for our lives. It's so countercultural. As I speak with people, even in my own church, as I speak with other Christians, pursuing peace is so, countercultural. I couldn't think of a better word there, but we value all human life and promote forgiveness, understanding, reconciliation, and nonviolent resolution of conflict. I feel like given a lot of the struggles that we faced in 2023 that we will continue to face in 2024, a lot of the violence in around the world and in our own country and neighborhoods and towns and cities, the uncertainty that we feel and polarization that we feel, that's going to get supercharged in the latter half of 2024 with the elections coming up in November. To be a person of peace, reconciliation, seeking forgiveness and understanding others who are different from us and believe differently from us. I just feel like this is a value that really will set Christians, could set Christians apart if we were to take it seriously in 2024. So that was the first one that popped up on my radar. There was another one that we were talking about offline that you and I both had on our radar, belonging to the community of faith.
Yeah.
That one, the kind of tagline for that one says, "We value integrity in relationships and mutual accountability in an atmosphere of grace, love, and acceptance." You know, we were talking a little bit about this in some of the 19 ways to kill your church. Being a part of the community of faith, as we face whatever difficulties or big issues in 2024, it will make all the difference if we are not isolated and alone. If we are in a community of people who love us, not that we have to know everyone in our church, not that everyone in the church has to know us, and not that everyone in the church has to be so up in our business that they know everything about us, but are we in a community of people that do love us, that do respect us, that value us, and are there people within that community that do know you a little deeper, you know, and you can share things with? I mean, that is just so big. I mean, there are world things and national things that all of us are going to be dealing with. The whole church will be dealing with. But on a more local level, there will be things that, you know, some of us will experience deaths in our family. Some of us will struggle with depression or anxiety and isolation and feeling alone. And there's you know, bullying. There's just going to be stuff that we deal with on an individual level that our community of faith will just matter so much for, and be able to speak into our lives so much. The integrity in relationships, in mutual accountability, an atmosphere of grace, love, and acceptance. My goodness, how different would our experience of life be if we were really experiencing that day in and day out in our churches, huh?
Yeah.
My goodness.
I can say, so obviously I'm a pastor, so you know, but I'm thinking about this. I'm like, well, so I belong to a community of faith, the local body here at Refton Church. It's hard to imagine what our life, my family's life would be like if we weren't going to church. Like if we weren't part of a community of faith. We often call, you know, our church family here that exactly that family, our faith family, right? And we're not like a closed door family either. Like, you know, come on in. The more the merrier, right? But it's just hard to imagine what my life and my, you know, my life would be like without our faith family.
Yeah.
And I think today, maybe more than ever, there's this temptation to not belong to a community of faith, or maybe even, I don't know if ignorance is the right word, but like, you know, like when you just don't know what you're missing because you've not experienced it. Our kids are growing up in a culture that's online, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, my daughter doesn't listen to this, so I'll say this. She's one of the few in her middle school that does not have a cell phone. I am such a mean parent, aren't I?
She doesn't have a cell phone.
She doesn't have social media. Yeah. All her friends do.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard part about that is there's a lot of inside jokes and stuff that she doesn't get because their life continues to happen online.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And so she almost feels like an outsider, and I feel kind of guilty about that. But at the same time, I know what we're shielding her from for now until we feel that, it's appropriate and she's mature enough to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just using that as an illustration. Like if you've never belonged to a community of faith, then you really don't know what you're missing out on. But it is significant. And you're not going to get that if you're what we pastors call church hoppers.
Yeah, right.
Have you ever heard that?
Yes, yes.
I'll go to this church, and then 6 months later, we start going to this church, and then a year later, we start going to this church, and next thing you know, you've hopped around to 10 different churches. So
that's
right. It's hard to belong to a faith family. If you're always new,
that is hard.
Yeah.
That is hard. Gosh. Yeah. Well, there was, did you have another one? I had one more.
No, that was all I had. I was even thinking that one for me, I was thinking that one was a good one, for just big C church, like worldwide, like belonging to a community of faith. Maybe other nations, get this better than we do because they're more culturally minded in that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But man, I feel like the YouTube sermon's not enough.
Yeah.
So as much as I love that we're capable of doing that now, and I'm not going to stop doing it. I still we need to be reminded that's not enough.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And you know, we get that there's, you know, rising institutional distrust that goes beyond just churches, right? There's a lot more distrust of larger organizations and institutions, and a lot of that lack of trust or declining trust is deserved. There have been a lot of failures in the church and in leadership in the church. And so we get that. We understand that. But there are still so many, and I would probably say, without evidence to back it up, a lot more faithful, godly churches and pastors and leaders than we would even think, because far more than the alternative. We just don't hear about them,
right?
Because nothing's blown up there yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, Scott, to your point of we just don't know what kind of family we're missing out on, and connection we're missing out on. I think that's true. Don't let the sometimes earned distrust of the church stop you from checking out some local church around you. So we recognize that can be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the last one I was thinking about was actually, we were going through these, talking about it before the podcast. They're all good. Like we should emphasize all 10. It's part of the reason why they are 10 core values of the BIC. We feel like they all inform each other, and we're not going to move forward as followers of Christ without any of these 10.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, all of these 10 probably fall within most, if not all, mainline Protestant, churches.
Yeah,
right?
There are some that are that are definitely distinctives,
like pursuing peace, but pursuing a lot, peace, a lot living, of these
living,
are just
living simply.
I mean, following Jesus is one of them. I mean, come on. If that's not a priority in your church, then
we got a problem. I was preaching through these at our church, did a series on them a couple years ago or a year and a half ago, something like that. And the first several, I was just like, listen, these first few you're going to find at pretty much any Christian church. but there are some, there is, as somebody said, a brethren in Christ accent to some of these, a certain way of looking at some of these, that would be a little bit different, like belonging to the community of faith. That's one that you would find at pretty much any Christian church, but with the brethren in Christ, there is a little bit more, there's the accent of like communal interpretation, right? So bringing, interpretation of scripture and application of scripture to the larger body to find wisdom, and discernment through the larger body. So there's that brethren in Christ accent there a little bit, which so we tried to hit on some of those things too. But so yeah, a lot of these you'll find in a lot of churches, but there are, for some of them, there are some accents, as they say, for the brethren in Christ that can, you know, tweak it a little bit how we understand and apply it.
Yeah.
But one of them I was thinking of was witnessing to the world. That's number six, as they list it in the on the website. Witnessing to the world, we value an active and loving witness for Christ to all people. And one of the things that jumped out to me about this one was not just the evangelism piece of that, because that's what jumps to my mind. When I think of witnessing to the world, we value an active and loving witness for Christ to all people, I think evangelism. Let's go stand on the street corner, hand out tracts, let's preach on the subway, let's all these things. But that's not what jumped out to me. What jumped out to me was emphasizing the word Christ there. We value an active and loving witness for Christ to all people. And there's obviously still the evangelism piece to that. But because of all the big things happening in our world and sometimes viewing things from a political lens first, we are active and loving witnesses, maybe not loving, but we are active witnesses for other things for people. You know, I can be an active witness for anxiety if I am constantly worrying, and, you know, every time I turn off the news, I'm just, my stomach is in knots and all this kind of thing. And that is all I talk about with my neighbors. I am not an active and loving witness for Christ to my neighbor if I'm doing that. I am an active witness for fear, for anxiety, just all these things. And so for me, as I think about 2024 and all the stuff that could be coming down the pike on a macro level, but also micro level individually and with local churches, being an active and loving witness for Christ, turning our eyes constantly back to Jesus and looking at his example, his teachings, his modeling for us. That being what we witness to, I think that can make a huge difference in our world.
And I think, Ryan, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you're saying, I'm sorry, what I think you're not saying is that we need to be an activist for Christ. That's a little different, right? Because if I'm an activist, it's like, I'm taking action no matter what. Like, it's like, even if I'm wrong, I'm still plowing you over. Right.
Okay.
When
well,
I think
the word, sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, when I think of like, active and loving witness for Christ to all people, my mind goes being made in my mind goes to Genesis, where we're made in the image of God. We're in a sense imaging him in the world. We are active representatives or ambassadors, I believe is another word that we could use there.
Yeah.
We represent Christ. We're to be the light of the world in a dark world. So it's not like we're just kind of getting on our soapbox and yelling from the street corners. It's a lot deeper than that. It's in how we live and what we say, what we do, and in everything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. The word active, the reason I use that is because that is one of the words that is used in that tagline. But you're right. The word active really speaks more to the fact that this is an embodied value. So this isn't just like evangelism is something we sometimes think of as proclaimed. And the gospel is proclaimed. We speak the gospel that Jesus, you know, lived the life we couldn't live. He died the death we should have died and rose again to give us hope. We speak the gospel to people. But this, and so while this core value can speak to that, to your point, active really means this is an embodied value. This speaks about how we live with our neighbors, how we interact with people on the, you know, parent-teacher association. This is about how we interact with the bus drivers for our kids, if that's an area of interaction for you in your life. You know, just this is about living, imaging Christ. If we are in fact image bearers, bearing the imago Dei, the image of God in our daily lives, then we don't want to do that a disservice. Sure. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, listen, if you are listening and watching with us, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think are some of the core values for the brethren in Christ that you feel the church could really benefit from by emphasizing that in 2024? Because there's a lot there's always more we can grow, and learn from, as a denomination, as local churches, and as Christians in general. We recognize that we belong to a family of believers in the Brethren in Christ denomination, and we, as pastors within that denomination, we ascribe to certain numbers of their distinctives, but we also recognize that we are not the only Christians out there. We do not claim sole authority or sole ownership of Christianity in our denomination. So we recognize that there's a lot that we as a church, capital C, can learn in different ways that we can impact our world in the year coming.
It'd be pretty neat to hear from people. I think you just asked that, like, hey, what are yours? But like, literally email us, let us know, like, what are the, you know, core values of the Brethren in Christ that you think we ought to be working on as a focusing on this year as a denomination? Yeah. But also I'd be interested to hear for you personally. You know, we can keep these emails anonymous if we choose to share them on the, you know, on the next episode or whatever, but it'd be kind of neat to hear from you. Love that.
Shoot us an email. BicLifePodcast@gmail.com is the easiest way to get a hold of us. BicLifePodcast@gmail.com. You can also put a comment in the comment section if you're watching on YouTube. Also, we recognize that Google is ending its podcast app. Google Podcasts is ending. We know that looking at our stats, a lot of our listeners listen from Google Podcasts. So they actually just today, I think, put the little banner at the top of Google Podcasts to migrate your podcasts over to YouTube Music, which is where they will now be doing their podcast functionality. So if you haven't done that, I did that this morning. You can do that. You can also just search for us on YouTube Music and subscribe to us individually if that's how you want to do it. We're there. We're all over the place. So make sure you do that. But we are on top of that Google Podcast switch. So just in case you were worried about that, we got you covered. We're all set. So, cool. All right. Well, Scott, I'm good. You good?
Yeah. Thanks, man. Really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm looking forward to 2024 for the podcast and we'd love to hear more from our listeners. And I know at least one or two of our podcast episodes have been as a direct result of hearing from some of our listeners. So we'd love to hear from you guys and love to interact. So with that said, we'll bid you adieu. Hope your 2024 is a great one. And welcome 2024. Here we are, finally in January.
We made it.
We made it. Now to do it all over again.
Yep.
All right, everybody, take care. We'll catch you on the next one.
See ya. Hey, thanks for listening to the BIC Life Podcast. Brethren in Christ churches exist to follow Jesus, serve others, and make disciples. If you're looking for more information about the BIC denomination, or if you're just looking for one of our local churches, head over to bicus.org. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the podcast, you can do so by emailing us at biclifepodcast@gmail.com, or you can head over to our website, biclifepodcast.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.